would like to turn to the book of Romans, chapter 12. Book of Romans, chapter 12. To read the first three verses, which, of course, are very familiar verses, verses that we preach from many, many times. Romans, chapter 12, verses 1 through 3. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. For I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. As we know, the 12th chapter of Romans begins the practical conclusion to the first 11 chapters of the book. And in those first 11 chapters, Paul wrote in some detail some of the great doctrines of the faith that we hold dear today. He wrote much about the depravity of man in those early chapters. Wrote about justification by faith. Wrote about salvation by grace. Spoke of in some detail on the subject of election and predestination and adoption and the atonement and reconciliation that we have in the atonement. Even spoke concerning the new birth and effectual calling and repentance and faith. Spoke of the purposes and providences of God and the provision and the protection of the Lord. And these certainly are great and wonderful truths, and they are the background of what is stated beginning with chapter 12. This is the background of what we read here. And in our text, we're all very familiar with verses 1 and 2, though I don't think any of us have come to the full realization of the meaning of these two verses. And what is taught in these two verses is certainly foundational in our Christian life. But Paul is seen here, first of all, pleading with the saints of God. He says, I beseech you, brethren. And his plea is based upon what he had already said in those first 11 chapters. He said, I beseech you by the mercies of God. Those mercies of God is everything that we've mentioned in those first 11 chapters. He's pleading with them to do something. And his plea is based upon the fact that God has been merciful to them. If you and I would stop and just consider the mercy of God, that should be the basis of our service to the Lord. And that's what Paul is pleading. He's saying God has been merciful to you, and on that basis I beseech you to do such and such. He is pleading with them concerning a duty. It's a reasonable service. He's pleading with them concerning an obligation. And the thing that should compel them to this duty, the thing that should compel them to this obligation, is simply that God has been merciful to them. That God has been good to them. He refers to this duty and this obligation and there in verse 1 as reasonable service. Now think about the word reasonable. It means that which is fair. That which is fair. So what he's saying here in verse 1, the duty that he's calling them to do, he's saying based upon the mercies of God, this is fair. It means sensible. Something's reasonable, it makes sense. It's sensible. So what he's telling them in verses 1 and 2 is not something extraordinary. It's that which is fair. It's that which is sensible. In other words, if we're not doing these things, we're not being fair. If we're not doing these things, stated in verse 1, we're not being sensible. We're being foolish. He said, these things are your reasonable service. So Paul is pleading for that which is fair, that which is sensible. But the word reasonable also means something that no reasonable person would object to. If something is reasonable, then anybody with a reasonable mind has no objection to it. Yet if you read verse 1 and begin to understand what all is involved, there are many of God's people that absolutely object to what Paul was saying. That you present your bodies a living sacrifice to God. No reasonable person, based upon the mercies of God, would object to that. That God deserves my everything. That I'm not to put anything in reserve for myself. It all belongs to God. No reasonable person will object to that. So if we do object to that, what does that make us? That makes us unreasonable. Now, I've been accused of being unreasonable many times. But I'll tell you what's unreasonable. Is if we in any way object to what Paul is saying here in verse 1 and verse 2. That's unreasonable. So we need to ask ourselves the question, are we reasonable? Because no reasonable, no sensible, fair-minded person will object to present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God. Based upon the mercies of God, no reasonable, fair-minded, sensible person will object to that. So again, that leads us to the question, are we reasonable? There is a call here to something, to do something that is reasonable. What Paul states is of extreme importance. He says, I beseech you, brethren. In other words, I beg you. I plead urgently, I plead earnestly with you concerning this thing. He says, I beg you, based upon the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice unto God. The implication is that what Paul was saying was, in the very word beseech, is a matter of extreme importance. A matter of great gravity. A matter of great urgency. Something that is of absolute necessity. And therefore, he says, I beseech you. And his whole argument is the mercy of God. That's all we need. Too many people want to know what's in it for them. Simply because God has been merciful to you, you owe it all. You owe everything to Him. And if you have any problem whatsoever with that, you're unreasonable. You're not a fair-minded and sensible person. That's what Paul is telling us here. Every one of us deserves his wrath. Every one of us deserves his condemnation. We deserve the curse. We deserve to be hated like Esau back there in Romans chapter 9. We deserve all of these things. But God has been merciful. God has spared us from what we deserve. And based upon that, it's only reasonable. It's the fair, it's the sensible thing to do, to present our bodies a living sacrifice unto God. Again, this is something that no reasonable person will object to. Something that no reasonable person will even question. Just something that we would strive to do. You know, we'll say, we read this, present your bodies a living sacrifice, and then we will say, well, what about this area? No reasonable person will even question. Do what it says. Present your body a living sacrifice. That means in every aspect, in every area of your life, in every circumstance of your life, this is what we're to do. And that is the reasonable thing for you and I to do. And we see this reasonable service involves total dedication to God. He says, I beseech you by the mercies of God that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy. The word holy there means sanctified, means set apart. We're to present our bodies set apart. Set apart for God. Acceptable. That is that which is pleasing to God. Based on the mercies of God. It is only reasonable that you and I should please Him. Based on the mercies of God. Again, no reasonable person would object to anything that is pleasing to God. Based upon the mercies of God. Now that you present your body a living sacrifice. That is complete surrender. In the Old Testament, when they presented a sacrifice, it was complete. The animal that was offered in sacrifice, it was a complete sacrifice. They didn't offer a part. It was a complete sacrifice. And that animal had nothing to say about it. Nor do we. And that's only reasonable. It is a complete and entire resignation of our lives to God. That's what a sacrifice is. It is a complete and entire resignation to God. No reasonable person will object to this. Based upon the mercies of God. Now, it means to be entirely set apart. A sacrifice was entirely set apart for God's use, entirely devoted to God, entirely committed to God. We always like to hold something back. Even when we think we're given all, we're really not. We're always holding something back. Always. And that's unreasonable. It's not fair. The fair and sensible thing to do is to hold nothing back. But to give it all to God. To be devoted entirely to God. Committed to God entirely. That means your job. That means school. That means church. That means everything. Entirely devoted to God. Well, what about my free time? It means everything. It means every minute of every day. entirely devoted and committed to God. And if we could do that, we still wouldn't be doing that which is extraordinary. We'd just be doing that which was fair. We would just be doing that which is the sensible thing to do. That which no, we're doing that again, which no reasonable person would object to. Do you have any objections tonight to being entirely committed, entirely devoted to God? Do you have any objections to that? Do you have any objections to your children? They're not going to miss out. Do you have any objections to your children serving the Lord? Don't get in their way. It's only fair that they give all. Now you notice what is stated here is personal. You notice the pronouns ye and your. So what is stated here is not the duty and the obligation of a few. It's the duty and obligation of each and every one of us who have received the mercies of God. What is stated here, you notice also, is done for God. Notice that phrase, unto God. You present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable, unto God. It's all done for Him. It is all about Him. It is a duty that involves losing sight of ourselves. It is a duty that involves being completely absorbed with God. We think we've done something if we give God an hour out of the week. You haven't done anything. We are to give everything to Him. And if we could do that, that would still only be that which is fair and sensible. Again, those who can't even give a couple hours of the week, if giving everything to God is the fair and sensible thing, what's that say about those who can't even give a couple hours? They're not very fair. Not very sensible either. They're foolish. What is stated here involves a spirit of readiness, cheerfulness, and that which is voluntary. That is implied in that word present. That you present yourselves. And you present yourself, you are in a spirit of readiness. You present yourself cheerfully and voluntarily. Just like the Old Testament offerings. We see also that this reasonable service is something that is acceptable unto God. That is, that which is short of this is unacceptable. We ought to be interested in what's acceptable unto God. And we ought to fear that which is unacceptable to God. Doesn't come down to what's acceptable to family. What's acceptable to God? That's what's fair. What is fair is that we give everything to Him. But this separation or this reasonable service involves a separation. Notice verse 2, and, that is in addition to, be not, that's present tense, simply means being. So it's something that's continual. Be not conformed to this world. To conform means to form or fashion in accordance with. That is, do not fashion yourselves in accordance with this world. Because if you do that, you cannot possibly do your reasonable service that is stated in verse 1. In order to do what is recorded in verse 1, you must be separated from the world. As God's people, in order to just do what's reasonable, we have to resist. We have to live and rise above the world's philosophies. That's our problem today. Many have not risen above the world's philosophies. Instead, they have adopted them, and that is why they have objection to what is stated in verse 1. You see, they can't possibly obey verse 1 because instead of not being conformed, they're conformed. They have adopted the philosophies of the world. They have adopted the world's reasonings. The world's reasonings will never lead you to do what is recorded in verse 1. Never. Doesn't make sense to the world's reasonings. They do not live above the world's ways. The world's ways can be summed up in one word, self. That's the world's way. Self. But verse 1 has nothing to do with self, other than giving yourself completely to the Lord. It means we have to live above the world's pursuits. You cannot possibly pursue the same things that the world is pursuing and even come close to obeying verse 1. It's not possible. So we must not be conformed. Cannot adopt the world's ideas about things. Because the world's ideas are anti-God. The world's ideas are self-centered. The world is earthly-minded. The child of God must rise above all of those things. The child of God must not allow themselves to be fashioned after the pattern of this world. We're all being fashioned after some pattern, every one of us. We're either being fashioned after the pattern of Jesus Christ, and that is what we're to do continually, or we are being fashioned after the pattern of the world, and it's not hard to know which one you're being fashioned after. All you have to do is take an honest look at your life. That's all you have to do. And you can see. Are you more like the world, or are you more like Christ? Do you have any objection whatsoever presenting yourself a living sacrifice unto God? So this reasonable service involves a separation. It also involves a transformation. There are people, God's people, and I believe that separation has been misrepresented for years in Baptist churches. The emphasis usually is put on separate from. I believe that's a wrong emphasis. It should be separated unto. It's not so much what we're separating from. It's who we're separating to. The Lord. And that's what produces Pharisees. Folks who separate from but never separate to. The Lord. So this separation involves a transformation. Notice what it says. Be not conformed to this world, but, that is, rather than being conformed to the world, be ye, again present tense, continue to be transformed. Transformed. And how do we do that? He tells us. By the renewing of your mind. To be transformed simply means to undergo a change. We are to continually be undergoing a change. And that change is conformity to Christ. And if we're constantly undergoing that change, then every single day, more and more every day, we are presenting ourselves more and more a living sacrifice unto God, and we have less and less objections to that. Every single day. If we're being transformed, undergoing a change. And we do this again by the renewing of our mind. The word renewing means the reestablishing of our minds. After you live in, after you spend a few hours in the world, you need to get home and you need to reestablish your mind. After you spend a little time in the world, whether it be the job or school or whatever, just going to the grocery store, you got to get home and you got to freshen your mind. Because I promise you, just going out into the world, your mind has been corrupted. You can't turn on the radio without it being corrupted. You can't drive down I-75 without it being corrupted. You can't take your dog for a walk without it being corrupted. Minds always need renewing. And that's the only way that we will be able to obey. Verse 1. We are transformed. We are constantly undergoing this change. And we do this by renewing the mind. And this is what Paul is speaking of. Notice in 2 Corinthians 10, in verse 5. The mind, very powerful. Very powerful. In verse 5, he says, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God. Every imagination that is against God, something needs to be done with those. They need to be brought into captivity. Every thought needs to be brought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. We are to present ourselves a living sacrifice unto God. We do this by not being conformed to the world. We do this by continually undergoing a change to be more and more like Christ. And every day, we need to stop and we need to examine our lives. Have I been Christ-like? Have I been Christ-like? Have I been conformed to the image of Christ? Now, Paul in verse 3 exposes a hindrance. He exposes something that gets in the way. Gets in the way of presenting ourselves a living sacrifice. It gets in the way of this transformation. He says, for, that is, with respect to, referring back to the duty and obligation stated in verses 1 and 2. For I say, through, by the means of, by the agency of, the grace given unto me to every man that is among you. Leaves none out. There isn't anybody to which this doesn't apply. The you referring back to the brethren, I beseech you, brethren. And then he exposes something. Not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think. What gets in the way of you and I presenting ourselves a living sacrifice unto God, what gets in the way of our renewing our mind and not being conformed to the world, is sinful pride and haughtiness. That we begin to think that it's about us. And we lose sight of why we're here. God didn't put us here just to have a good time. That's not why we're here. God put us here. God has allowed us to live. Serve Him. Present ourselves a living sacrifice. Now, if we think of ourselves more highly than we ought, if we have this pride, we're thinking wrong. We're not thinking right. Anytime you put yourself above God, you're not thinking right. Your mind has been corrupted. And let me tell you, you have to think right in order to do what it says in verse 1. It requires the renewing of your mind. It requires right thinking. So our mind plays a big part in this. Wrong thinking is directly opposed to our reasonable service that God requires. So what is presented in verses 1 and 2, based upon the mercies of God, it's fair. It's fair that you give yourself entirely to God. It is fair that you let go and just give everything to God. That's fair. It's not only fair, it's sensible. It's not only fair and sensible, but no reasonable person would even think about objecting. It is our reasonable service. But the problem is, we become unreasonable in our thinking. And it becomes all about what God can do for us, what God can give us, rather than us presenting ourselves a living sacrifice unto God. Does God need us? Of course not. But it is a privilege. It is due to the mercy of God that God would even allow us to present ourselves a living sacrifice unto God. That's a privilege that we have. Don't talk about serving God as if it's a job, as if it's a hardship. That's what makes sense. It's what's fair, based upon the mercies of God. Now, this right thinking, he goes on not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, that is, clearly and unclouded. How do we think clearly? By renewing our minds. How do we uncloud our thinking? By renewing our minds. You see, again, you don't have to spend much time in the world. You don't even have to go outside of your house for your thinking to become unclear. How do you know when your thinking has become unclear? When it doesn't line up with Scripture, you're not thinking clearly. When you have any objection to verse 1, you're not thinking clearly. You're not thinking properly. Your thinking's been clouded. You need your mind renewed. And we're told in Titus chapter 2 that the grace of God that brings salvation teaches us to live soberly and righteously in this present world. So the way to fulfill verse 1 is we can't be conformed to the world, but instead we're conformed to Christ, and we do this by transformation. A change is taking place. This takes place by the renewing of our mind. And when we do these things, that is, after you've done these things, now you're able to do something. And what you're able to do is to discern the will of God. pretty dangerous for people who are trying to determine the will of God in their lives who aren't obeying verse 1. The Bible says in order to determine the will of God, you'd better obey verse 1. That ye may. That ye may prove what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So we're to walk, we're to think soberly. How do we do this? According as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. It takes faith to think right. It takes faith. We need a measure of faith. And the greater our measure of faith, the more we present ourselves a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God. The greater our measure of faith, the less problems we have, the less objections we have to presenting ourselves a living sacrifice unto God. So I ask you tonight, are you reasonable? Are you reasonable? Most folks sitting here would probably consider themselves as reasonable individuals. But are we? What is reasonable? Most would consider themselves fair-minded individuals. But are we? What is fair is that we present ourselves a living sacrifice, set apart and acceptable unto God. Which is it tonight? Are we conformed to this world? Or do we see ourselves being continually transformed? Again, none of us, not a single one of us, have fully surrendered ourselves to God. There's only one who has completely, fully surrendered himself to God who walked upon this earth. And that was Jesus Christ. Even when we think we've given it all, we haven't. We haven't. And I don't believe we're even capable of giving it all to the Lord. But that's what we ought to strive for, just like perfection. We're not capable of being perfect, but that's what we ought to strive for. And let me say, nobody's perfect, but some are closer than others. And nobody's just like Christ, but some are closer than others. And we ought to want to get as close to that as we can possibly get on this life. So we have to be transformed, and we do that by the renewing of our mind. We need to examine our minds every single day, because these minds become corrupted. The devil pours all kinds of things in these minds. And you may not even realize it till 2-3 months later, what he put in your mind, or what crept into your mind. And it pops up in our thinking. Shows in the way we view things. It's scary today when the viewpoint of God's people isn't much different than the viewpoint of the world. It's scary. And I'm afraid that's happening quite a bit in our world. It's a scary thing when those who know the truth, their viewpoint isn't much different than those who don't know a thing about the truth. Our viewpoint ought to be different from this world. I get worried if I agree with the world. I really do. It concerns me. It concerns me if some humanist says something that makes sense to me. That greatly concerns me. Because it's contrary to the Word of God. So examine your mind. And I ask you tonight, do you find anything that you can object to in verse 1? No reasonable person can possibly object to giving your all to the one who has saved your soul. We shouldn't have any problem with that.
whatsoever. Our only problem should be is, Lord, I just wish I could do it more. And it ought to break our hearts that we don't. Brother Larry, if you'd come and lead us in verse song. Let's all stand. Brother Larry, lead us in singing.